Do we still believe that revival is even possible? You know that song, it pulls at my spirit. Lord, that's what we need more than anything is the Holy Spirit to move among us. And I believe God desires to do it in a greater way. But my question tonight is, Lord, then what is standing in the way? Have you ever asked yourself that? Lord, what is hindering? Because I am thankful for the Spirit of the Lord that I do see working. I am thankful tonight for the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. I am thankful for the moving of the Holy Spirit in our midst as a people. But I firmly believe tonight that the Lord wants to move in a greater way among us. I believe tonight that the Lord wants to give a greater anointing in our lives individually and as a people. I believe God wants to do more among us. I believe God wants us as a body to be a greater reflection of the glory of God. And so then our prayer is tonight, Lord, we want You to move in our midst. And if that's not Your desire tonight, then really, whatever is said and done is going to become irrelevant other than that You are making a decision that I'm not interested in the things of God. Because if you have just a little bit of spark tonight, there ought to be a draw in your spirit that, Lord, I want to see more of Your glory. I want to see You work and move in a greater way. I have a great passion tonight. People ask the question, where is the Holy Spirit? Why don't we see more being done? Folks, I don't want to minimize what God is doing. But I also don't want to hide my head in the sand and say there's nothing else that can be done. I believe God wants to pour out His glory in a greater way in our lives. So then I say, Lord, what do we need to do individually and corporately as a body, Lord? What can we do? If you will turn with me to the book of Jeremiah in the 48th verse. He said, cursed be he. And you know when the Lord says cursed, He means cursed. It means God's approval is not there. He said, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. And without getting all into the history, the Lord's judgments were going to come against Moab. And He was looking for those to come in and destroy them. And He said, if you do the work of God deceitfully, you're cursed. And He said, cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. And that is what, by the help of the Lord, we'd like to share tonight. The topic or the subject would be no holding back. If you go to war, and if in days of old they used swords, if you went to war and were on the battlefield, and you kept your sword back, how successful would you be in battle? He said, cursed are you that go out to battle under the flag, and you're going out to do warfare, but you're keeping your sword from blood. You are afraid to fully engage. I wonder this morning if the Lord could pour out a greater anointing in our midst tonight. And this message is to the unsaved, and it's also to the saved. It's all of us. I wonder tonight if the Lord could not pour out a greater anointing and power in our life if we would be willing to engage more for in the things of God. We are in a battle tonight. We are in a spiritual battle, and if we are afraid to commit ourselves in the battle, it's going to end in inevitable defeat. Individually and as a body of people, we must be willing to engage in this spiritual warfare without holding anything back and say, Lord, I am willing tonight to place my life on the line, to do what You want me to do, to live like You want me to live, and it doesn't matter what the consequences, but Lord, I'm not going to hold back. And I wonder if some of the perpetual failures that people are experiencing, if some of the battles that, I'm just going to say as a people that we face, if some of those would not be done away with and minimized, if we would be more willing to put our sword in for blood. In other words, we're not keeping back. We're not restraining ourselves. I heard just recently on the news that some of our congressmen and women in Washington, D.C., there was a vote on a bill. And there are a few that voted yay and some that voted nay, but many of them voted present. Present. They weren't willing to commit themselves. They weren't willing to say yes. They weren't willing to take a stand. Some of them were wanting to kind of wait and see which way things went. And I don't want to just say I'm in opposition, but I'm present. I wonder tonight, if we were to take a spiritual vote, and it's not my place to judge anybody else but my own life, I wonder tonight if there are too many that are just present. How many of us are holding back the sword from keeping blood in this spiritual fight? The Lord has called all of us to the warfare to live for Him tonight. He has called all of us to work for God. He has called all of us to be saved from our sin. But it's not going to be good enough to just be present. I've come to service and I come to church and I'm a good person. Thank God for that. But folks, it's not enough. It's not enough if we're holding back and reserving. Remember the story of Gideon. When he went out against the Midianites, there were 32,000 soldiers. And the Lord said, you know what? It's too many. I want my glory to be shown. And Gideon told them, he said, if you are fearful and you are afraid, he said, go back home. Go back to your tents. You remember how many left? 22,000 left. Tonight, I'm not here to try to make things sound different than they really are. Jesus didn't either. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you are not saved tonight, there is a cross in following Jesus. There is a price that you are going to have to pay, but I will say that any price that you pay will be well more than rewarded for anything you give up for God. But there is a price that is paid, there is a cost, and there is a cross to bear. And so 22,000 said, we're afraid, we don't want to go into battle, and they went home. And there were 10,000 left. And the Lord then told Gideon, tell him to go take a drink of water. And 9,700 of those men either knelt down and laughed like a dog or just laughed out of the water or they got down on their knees. There were 300 that knelt down and used their hand to get water. And God said, those are the ones I want to keep. Do you know why? Because they were watching. They were not just getting and thinking, well, we're around 10,000 people. We can let our guard up. They were on their guard. And you can be looking around and reach down and get a drink of water and still be watching for the enemy. Folks, if we are not willing to watch tonight and be on our guard, we will not make it spiritually. If we are not willing to commit ourselves fully to the cause of God, you will not make it spiritually. And you may think that sounds a little bit too hard, but folks, in the time in society that we're living in, half-hearted service will not get us through. We're going to have to make a commitment to the Lord that no matter what, I am going to do what you call me to do, and I'm going to give up what you want me to give up. And when I see something is hindering me spiritually, and the Lord speaks to my heart, Lord, I'm in. I'm going to get rid of it because I see it's affecting me spiritually. You can only go so long denying that voice of the Holy Spirit before you lose your salvation. And people wonder what happened. I didn't turn around and just go after the world wholeheartedly. But Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. And if there is anybody here that tonight that thinks that maybe there's a way that you can have some of this world and some of your hearts given to it, but yet still follow the things of God, they're incompatible. It doesn't work. And that is the reason why, and the story is familiar to all of you, over in Matthew 19, when the young rich ruler came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments, and he listed the commandments. And the young man said, I've done these things. In other words, he was a good man. He would have made a good trustee, a good neighbor. He was a good, responsible person, moral, upright. But Jesus said, if you want to be perfect. Now, sometimes we put this off on a sanctified life, and it is a sanctified life. But Jesus was simply saying, if you want to follow me, this is the requirements. This is what you're going to have to do. He said, go and sell everything that you have and then come and follow me. And you remember it says that the young man, he went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. He went away grieved because he was not willing to give everything to the Lord. He was willing to go part way. But he was going to withhold something. There was something in his heart that was still holding on to the things of this world. Folks, it may not be possessions, but if there is anything that you are holding on to tonight, that you are not willing to freely take your hands off and say, Lord, I place it at your feet and I am all in for the Lord. That thing is what's going to trip us up spiritually. That is the thing that can hinder you from having victory in other areas of your life that seem to be unassociated. Because it's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the decision that we make. Am I going to follow the Lord or not? And I wonder what the Lord sees when He looks down on us as a people. Does He see tonight a people that are withholding their sword from blood? Or does He look on us and say, these people are fully committed to me? And it starts individually. I think I mentioned here a few months ago that there are many that have a tithe consecration. An Old Testament tithe was something that was required by the law. You give 10% here, the reality is the true tithe was closer to 25% if you're going to teach it according to the Old Testament. But people today say it's 10, so we'll just go along with that for the moment. But they say, okay, I'll give 10%. I'll give this amount to the Lord. But do you know in the New Testament, tithing is not taught? Giving is taught. Because giving is something that's done from the heart. And I wonder in other areas of our life if we are not paying a tithe to the Lord. Lord, I'll give you this much time. I'll give you this much time to work for you. I'll give you this much in the offering. I'll give you this much of my affection. And the Lord's saying, you're withholding your sword from blood. The Lord is looking for a people. He's looking for individuals tonight that will fully consecrate and dedicate their entire life and all that it means and say, Lord, everything is yours. I'm not going to hold back. I'm not going to reserve. But Lord, I am willing tonight to follow you wherever you lead me. There is a great need tonight for dedicated gospel workers. Who's going to fill those places? It's not going to work to be filled by people that are giving a part. Now, when you give your all, it does not mean that everybody quits their job and young people that you quit school and say, okay, here I am, what do I do? It is about a consecration of heart that you say, Lord, when I go to school, I'm going to school for you. When I go to work, adults, I'm going to work for you. I'm not separating my Christian experience from my job or from school or when I go to the grocery store or as a mother or a father. Lord, everything that I do, I want it to be for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. I want you to get glory in everything I do. And when the Lord wants you to do something else, He will clearly reveal that to you. But how can God reveal to us work that He wants us to do if we are not fully committed and sold out for God? So Lord, help us not to hold back our sword from blood, but help us to give and follow with our whole heart. You see, there's a place of decision that we come to in life. Moses in Hebrews chapter 11, Lord bless tonight. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of his reward. Place of decision. Is it fair to ask tonight, and again, you're not answerable to me, but is it fair to ask what your decision is tonight? It's not enough just to say I'm saved. If you're saved or not, there is a place of decision that the Lord brings us to that says, are you going to commit to follow me with all of your heart or not? Do you know Moses could have said, I'm going to try to see how it goes. Do you know what happens when people say, I'll just try it? Has anybody ever dieted that way? I'll just try it and kind of see how it goes. I can tell you what's going to happen because I've done that. It won't work. Because you have to commit yourself. If this is something that's going to work and I know it's been testified to working, I'm going to commit myself regardless of how I feel and regardless of what I desire. I'm going to be committed to this thing. That's when something starts working. But Moses could have said, I'm gonna kind of start sleeping a little bit out with my family, the Israelites, but I'm gonna spend some of the days in the palace, and I'm gonna just kind of see how this transition goes. Do you know that it would not have worked? Because there would have been conflict between those two means of living. Moses, where's your heart? Are you an Israelite or are you an Egyptian? Where are your loyalties? Where are your affections? Tonight, I'm thankful for each one that's here, but just because we are in these four walls is not a measure necessarily of the decision that we have made. He made a decision that I am going to follow the Lord with all of the reproach and all of the suffering because he esteemed a greater reward that was to come down the road. Folks, the Lord has something good in store for all of us. And if you're not saved tonight and you think, well, I'm going to have to give up this and that, there is a warped perception of what salvation is then. Remember the man that found the pearl of great price? What did he do? He went and sold all of his other possessions and he did not go weeping to buy that pearl of great price. It said he went with joy because he found something that was worth far more than all of his other little treasures in life. If you're not saved and the enemy is making you think, well, if you get saved, you're going to have to give up this and give up that and you can't go there and you can't do that. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Do you know that is the devil tonight? When you make a decision to follow the Lord, he has something far greater to give to us. And it is worth selling out for. It is worth selling out for. But a double-minded man, the scripture says, is unstable. He's unstable in all of his ways because there's this wishy-washy, you know, sometimes I want to do right and sometimes I want this. And there's a holding back of just freely following the Lord. Have you ever watched or been in just playing a game? And you knew someone was just kind of holding back. Go out and play a game of softball or something. Some people, they're just not into the game. They're not giving it their all. Is that the way to win a game? Doesn't matter whether it's a board game or whether it's playing ball outside. If you want to win, you've got to put your heart into it. You've got to try. You've got to give it your best. But I wonder with the Lord tonight, how many of us are holding back? How many of us are not fully invested? Do you know if you have an investment opportunity and you put in 5% of your net wealth and things go downhill, you know, you can survive? It's 5%. Yeah, it hurt, but I'll make it. But when you really believe in something and you invest everything, you care about what happens to it. The Lord needs people tonight who care about His cause. He's looking for people tonight that say, Lord, I am willing to invest 100%. And we wonder why there maybe isn't a greater anointing. And we wonder why we're struggling so much in areas of our life. Is it just possible tonight that this is one of the reasons that we've been holding back and are not fully vested in the things of God? When we begin, come to the place that we can sell out for the Lord and submit our ambitions and our dreams and our goals, folks, the Lord will give us greater dreams. He will give us bigger goals. He will give us greater joy. But we have to be willing to place it in His hands and say, Lord, I'm going to give it to You. I'm going to yield. I'm going to submit. There is an urban legend, and I phrase it that way because, you know, things that happened in history have a way of taking on a life of their own. But there's an urban legend that, and as I studied it and I found out that there were some other possibilities of what happened. But in 1519, Hernando Cortez landed in Veracruz, Mexico. And he landed there and he had a purpose, and his purpose was to pillage the Aztec treasures. The Aztecs were a powerful empire. They had been for 6 centuries. And he landed in Veracruz, Mexico with 500 soldiers and 100 sailors and 11 ships. And traditionally the story is, I'm going to correct it, but traditionally the story is that Cortez told his men to burn the ships. And he said, if we're going home, we're going home on their ships. He told them to burn the ships because he said, it's everything or die. There's no place of retreat. There's nowhere to give up. Historically, there are some records that would indicate there was a little translation issue in how that story began to be told, that actually they may not have burned them, and that's where the expression is, burn your ships, this is where it came from, but that he actually took it and scuttled the ships, but before they did it, they took out all the tackle, they took out all the things off that ship so it could not be used, and they used those items in their conquest. The Lord wants us tonight to burn our ships. He wants us to take everything that we have used to follow after the things of this world and present them to the Lord and say, Lord, it's nothing. It's all or nothing. Conquer or die. No escape. No fallback. There are people that I have met that said, I'm going to try the Lord and I'm just going to see kind of how it goes and I'm not sure. Do you know where that leads them? It leads to failure, folks. This is one of the reasons among us. Let me just put it that way. You can argue with me about it later. That so many people have an up and down Christian experience. Because they seek the Lord and are forgiven of their sins, but they don't keep moving forward. And so then they keep falling back to where they came from. The Lord has a solution to that tonight. And this is one of the things, young people, there may be a fear. I'm afraid of just going because I might fail. But you know that God's grace can sustain you tonight. The Holy Spirit can sustain you and keep you if you will come with the heart that says, Lord, I am in this thing. I am fully committed. And I know there will be struggles and I know there's going to be battles, but Lord, I'm not going to hold back ever again and I'm going to follow You. God's grace will keep you tonight. The Holy Spirit will help you keep moving forward. You don't have to go back to sin. We don't have to be afraid tonight of fully committing to the Lord. We don't have to be afraid of committing to His will in our life. But are we willing? Is there anyone tonight that is willing to dedicate fully their life and say, Lord, I'm Yours? What does the song talk about? I cast myself recklessly out on the infinite will. like a chip on the sea of His infinite will, something like that? Are we willing tonight to give God that place in our life that we say, Lord, I've been holding on to some things in my life, and I'm wanting to serve You, but is there anyone that's willing tonight to say, Lord, I'm going to cast myself out, and I'm going to trust You to take me? Do you see? The Lord is looking for us to give Him something tonight. A couple of months ago in Ghana, a place that there's lots of spiritual problems and been lots of ups and downs through the years, and the Lord gave a message, and I told them, I said, if you're going to follow the Lord, I said, you're going to have to forsake the world. Do you know that's still God's requirement for us tonight? If you want to follow the Lord, you're going to have to forsake the world. And I said, is there anyone that's willing to actually say no to the world and say yes to God and come and let the Lord lead your life? And there were three men that came forward. After we had prayer with them, one of the ministers got up and said, now is there anyone that has anything, any burdens, any sickness, anything that you want God to do for you, come and pray. A large group of people came forward to pray. And you know, it's good for people to share their requests before the Lord. But the Lord gave me a little reproof to them. I told them, I said, when we asked who was willing to give to the Lord, I said, there were only three that came forward to pray. But I said, it's easier to say, Lord, we want You to do this. We want You to give us, we want You to provide for our children's education. We want You to heal me of my sickness. We want You to provide. We want You to give us good crops. We want You. And there's nothing wrong with the request, but folks, I wonder if sometimes the Lord is hindered in what He can give and bless us with because we're not willing to first commit to Him. You see, it's easier to ask God for something than it is to give God something. But if we're not willing to give to God, don't expect the Lord to have to honor our request individually or as a people when we say, Lord, we want You to bless us more. We want a greater anointing. Folks, you want to see revival fire start in your life and in your home and in the congregation. It's going to come about this way. It's going to come about when more people can come to the place that they say, Lord, I'm not going to hold back anymore. I'm going to put You first in my life. I'm going to follow You. I'm going to forsake the things that I know I've kind of been dabbling with that really probably aren't the best for me spiritually, but I'm still saved. Lord, I'm willing to give You those things tonight, and I'm going to be all in this battle for You. You will begin to find a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life when we come to that place. Why was it that Paul was willing to endure shipwreck and beatings and hunger? He was willing to have his name misaligned from people within the church. Why did he keep going? It was because he was committed to a greater cause. He was committed to a greater cause. Lord, I am willing to die for this. Are you willing to do that? You see, many times we read about the martyrs, and it almost sounds a little romantic. I mean, it's romanticized a little bit. You know, be burned at the stake for the Lord. It's like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But what about giving up the things in our life that the Lord says, that's not good for you? I tell you, there's not much romantic about that. Because it hurts. Are we willing? Are we committed to the cause tonight that we're willing to say, Lord, I am willing to pursue holiness and purity and godliness with everything in my life. And Lord, I want You to use me, and I want to be a vessel that whenever You're ready to do something with me, I'm going to be living for You, waiting for the call of the Spirit. You want to see revival? It's going to come when we get to this place that we can say as Paul, I the things that I counted dear to myself, I just count them but dung, that I may win Christ. This is the reason why that Paul beseeched the congregation at Rome. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Why are so many afraid to just let go without holding back? Part of it is that I don't want to fail. Sometimes people say, I'm just afraid of what God will require me to do. Have you ever been afraid of that? It's like, I'm just afraid to just, without some kind of reservations put in place, to just say, Lord, here I am. Because what if God asks me to do something I don't want to do? That's the place right there. It's not as much about the thing, it's about the heart. Do you know the Lord, young people, the Lord is not going to ask you to do anything that you cannot do. Anything that the Spirit of the Lord leads you to do, He will give you the grace and the strength and the wisdom and the power. And it's not by your own strength. It's not by what you can do yourself. But if He calls you to do something, it doesn't matter how young you are or how old we are this evening. When the Lord calls something from us, we don't need to be afraid of it. But He's looking for willing vessels. He's looking for a people. Tonight, again, I said this message was to the saved and the unsaved alike. To the unsaved, you also are at a place of decision. Are you just present? Or are you willing tonight to say, Lord, maybe I've tried this way before and I started going down a different path. Do you know the Lord allows U-turns? And He allows us to come back to a place that we say, Lord, I'm willing tonight to give myself to You, and I'm willing to go all the way with God. If you're saved tonight, the Lord is looking, and there's such a great need for people who will give themselves fully to the cause of Christ. We see fanaticism in our world. But more than that, we see compromise. We see people trying to mix the things of the flesh with the things of the Spirit. And folks, it doesn't work. God will not bless that in our homes, and He will not bless it in the congregation. He will not bless a mix. And so He's looking for people that can say, Lord, I'm in, and I'm going to burn my ships. I'm not looking for an escape route anymore, but Lord, I give You my heart and I will follow You. Folks, when we come to that place, if you haven't been there, you will be amazed at the anointing and presence of God in your life. I yearn to see more of the moving of the Holy Spirit. If you want that and the Lord is dealing with your hearts, do not let fear, do not be afraid of what God will ask of you, but all we need to do is come and submit ourselves to the Lord and let God do the work. Amen.